Blog Talk Radio.
From WBRN Radio and the Boston Red Network, our episode, The Trump Tariffs and American Agriculture. We're using two primary sources here, the Omaha Herald, which has a nice little digestive, I guess, article on the tariffs and agriculture in Nebraska and the Nebraska Farm Bureau. So we'll do it first, and then we'll go to some polling and then other news that is out there, including the shutdown that is costing roughly $1 billion every 2 weeks. This whole affair should be over $30 billion to the economy. We'll get into that in a minute. There are no firm figures on that, and of course we won't get them until after the fact. Nonetheless, this is the Omaha Herald on the 4th of December 2018. Real fair and accurate, the Omaha Herald is owned by Berkshire Hathaway, the organization basically owned by one Warren Buffett. I'll read Dateline Washington here. Nebraska farmers have lost upward of $1 billion in revenue from the ongoing trade conflict. That's according to the Nebraska Farm Bureau. Hits to agriculture from the ongoing tariff wars have been clear for some time, but the new report uses some eye-popping numbers to illustrate the pain. Retaliatory trades make our U.S. products more expensive for international customers, meaning they will buy less or buy from other places. That is from Steve Nelson, the president of the Nebraska Farm Bureau. The report provides a clear picture of how much we have lost due to these tariffs and the need to improve our trade relations. The president, DJ Trump, continues to taunt the trade impasse, saying in particular that they have benefited American steel interests, and rejecting the suggestion that they have contributed to problems for automakers. Now, that is another problem with the program, also the automakers there. The Bureau also did not account for the market facilitation of payments, part of a $12 billion government program intended to offset losses of farm revenue as a result of trade disruptions. The first half of those payments expected to equal about $30 million for Nebraska. In trading partners, Canada and Mexico and the EU in response to Trump's steel and aluminum, aluminium, however you want to call it, tariffs were on their own of American products, particularly those from the agriculture sector. The Farm Bureau borrowed work done in previous Iowa State survey on the impact of those retaliatory tariffs that have the prices of various commodities. The report uses those ranges to produce estimates for overall impact. Soybeans, corn, pork all take a significant hit. That's according to an analysis by Jay Rimpey of the Nebraska Farm Bureau, senior economist there. The total loss for the Nebraska farm revenue due to retaliatory tariffs ranged from $695 million to $1.025 billion so far. That was in last year. The roughly 11 to 16% of the export value of Nebraska agriculture that would have been in 2017. The state of Nebraska total economic loss of the state of Nebraska from retaliatory tariffs climbed between $859 million to $1.2 billion. The $1.2 billion loss in the perspective for every person in the state of Nebraska needs to contribute $632 to cover that volume of loss. The Farm Bureau is urging a series of steps to address the trade situation. The approval of the agreement with Mexico and Canada would replace NAFTA. Joining the Trans-Pacific Partnership, not going to happen. And negotiating a so-called free trade agreements with Japan, the EU, and dealing with China. Grassley, the incoming chair of the Finance Committee, old man Grassley of Iowa, has signaled he's open to legislation aimed at pulling back on the tariffs, but so far it has not happened. That is from the Omaha Herald in 2018. Let me just refresh our page here and make sure that we have the latest from them. Okay. This is the full report, A Path to Trade Retaliation. I think this is the same report that we had. Yeah, it is. Okay. This is the U.S. ongoing trade dispute with several trading partners has been and continues to be a contributing factor to agriculture's deteriorating financial conditions. Retaliatory tariffs imposed by other countries on U.S. agriculture exports have in part caused a significant price decline for many agricultural commodities in 2018. It's important to note that Nebraska's beef sector, we haven't talked about that, has largely escaped the negative impact as countries imposing retaliatory tariffs on U.S. commodities have not included major beef customers as South Korea and Japan. In contrast, total beef exports are projected to be $8 billion. That was in 2018, exceeding a record of 7.25 in 17. It's fueled by tremendous growth in markets in in South Korea and on the renegade province of Taiwan. We'll get to that in a minute here. So the growth in Japan, I guess they're eating more beef in Japan, less pork. Retaliatory tariffs in Nebraska's top export markets in Canada, the U.S., Canada, China, the EU, retaliatory is in place there. Japan is not part of it, and the methodology here in September of 2018, the Center for Agriculture and Rural Development at Iowa State University, published an analysis of the impact of trade disruptions on the Iowa economy as part of the examination of the impact and decline in farm-level receipts due to tariffs. CAR, as it's called, the analysis examined the impact of retaliatory tariffs on corn, soybeans, and hogs to the Nebraska economy also. So we're basically doing two things here. The CARD study found retaliatory tariffs reduced the price of corn by 4 to 6%, soybeans from 10 to 16.25%, and hogs by 11.5 to 12%. We'll call it 12%. And these are just some of the findings here. And looking at the study, the impact of steel and aluminum aluminium tariffs, as from the Department of Agriculture, Department of Commerce, excuse me, following the implementation of tariffs, six of the U.S. closest allies and trading partners initiated retaliatory measures. And they list here Canada, China, the EU, Mexico, Turkey, that's on cars and tobacco, and India on almonds, apples, and metals. Had not heard about this before, but I suppose if you search, you'll find things. The summary here is, as the world population grows and incomes rises, more demand for food and Nebraska agriculture products is increasing. Retaliatory tariffs by U.S. Trading partners in 2018 are estimated to have lowered the levels of revenue a range of $700 million to $1 billion. That's quite a bit of money there. And also Nebraska economy, roughly $859 million to $1 billion in a lost income in between 4,000 and 6,000 jobs. The first time we've heard the word jobs mentioned. Now, this is the Nebraska Farm Bureau. Nebraska was the fifth largest agriculture exporting state in 2016, exporting $6.6 billion in agricultural products. The amount of dollar trade in agriculture is putting into producers' pockets can be measured in one way. It's one way to affect export value per unit of basis, per unit basis, the value of a commodity export in terms similar to prices received by farmers and ranchers. And this is some of the ways they're doing it. We won't go into this, but edging down here in the tables, Pratt County edges out another county here. We won't get into all these. Over $148 million of value accrued to Pratt County. That would be in Nebraska. And $141 million accrued to Cunning County. These are agricultural counties in Nebraska. And various values of total exports in the Nebraska counties. Luckily, we don't have as many counties as Mississippi. Anyway, these agriculture exports are very, very important. Conclusion was the fifth largest Nebraska exporter in exporting state in 2016, exporting $6.6 billion of agricultural goods. And you can see this has really hurt the Nebraska economy when we look at the beige book. That is from the Internal Revenue Service. And Newsweek here, they had a very similar thing out in December, all on the Nebraska economy and how it has hurt Nebraska. So quite a bit of lossage there in Nebraska. That is the agricultural part of it. Let me just check something here. This is Iowa farmers. Iowa farmers, $2.2 billion a loss could ripple through the state's economy there. This is from the Des Moines Register on the since September. Anyway, Iowa farmers could lose up to $2.2 billion here. A new survey from the Iowa State University digs into the impact of tariffs on exports in Iowa. Now, here's some of the projected impacts. The possible cuts to the Iowa sales tax receipts. The first time we've talked about this in Iowa to reduce income to Iowa farmers. Iowa growers are expected to get $550 million in the first round of direct. Now, this is Iowa. U.S. farmers expect to get $4.7 million assistance from the $12 million package that DJ Trump has put out here for his subsidies. Kind of goes in line with the smorgasbord effects of the Iowa, government shutdown. The report impact on labor reduced Iowa spending. This is farmer spending. That spending supports about 10,000 jobs across multiple industries. And factors in federal assistance is in Iowa, $364 million. For instance, the minimum loss to Iowa manufacturing, given the higher costs for steel, aluminum, aluminum, electronics, and other products used, the companies pay higher prices because of these tariffs. The biggest tariff winner, Iowa aluminum and steel producers, are subject to a $215 million boost, given the price of their products. The pork producers are likely will be the biggest losers. They will lose $911 billion. Soybean growers could lose up to $520 million. Corn growers are $337 million. The dairy people, $20 million. Not a lot of dairy, evidently, farmers in Iowa. Tariffs, of course, Iowa ethanol producers, very important here. $105 million, that study shows. Iowa is the nation's second largest ag exporter after California. What's good to understand that California has a thriving agricultural economy there, exporting close to $11 billion in 2016. The report shows Iowa leads the nation in corn, soybeans, and pork. As the nation, Iowa leads export partners in Canada, China, Mexico, and the European Union and Japan. Tough trade talks lead to tit for tat, and they have been into a lot of tit for tat. Let me just see if... we finally found the Iowa State University. This is Carr. The date on this was September in the analysis using historic trade patterns and revenue linkage, etc. Overall losses to Iowa gross state products are calculated to be between $1 and $2 billion. Overall loss to Iowa soybean industry, $159 to $891 million. An average loss on all models of $545 million. Soybeans at $5.2 billion industry in Iowa. Overall losses to Iowa industries, corn industry, $579 million. Not peanuts. Overall loss to the pork hog industry. We get pork bellies here. $558 to $995 million. You heard a little bit of this in the Nebraska report because they used some of these same figures. Now, let's see what else. Additional loss labor income across the state. Labor income declined from inputs to corn, soybeans, and hogs. Range from $366 to $484 million without the federal offsets. The Iowa tax revenue losses, personal income tax, sales tax range from $111 to $146 million. The federal offset would reduce tax losses anywhere from 75 to 111 million. So it's not a break-even point there. Let me just we'll figure out what we're going to attach. We probably will attach the card survey here. Is coming, maybe. It will get here, and we will attach it. This is a PDF. The impact of the trade dispute. This was in September, and this is from the Iowa State University, Dr. Birelli, Dr. Hart. These are economists at the Iowa State University. Dr. Hayes, Dr. Lee, and Dr. Swartz, Dr. Swenson. And Woodong Z, another professor of economics at the Iowa State University. This is published by the Center for Agriculture and Rural Development. That study was referred to the executive summary here. In analysis, we look at historic trading patterns, revenue linkage and recent futures market. We hadn't heard the word futures here. We use two distant modeling techniques. Each technique, we look at two different assumptions. First, we use a partial equilibrium model approach that we do not directly consider linkage among markets and industries across the state of Iowa. In this approach, two assumptions about price changes are invoked. We didn't want to get into too much of this. But observations in the future market. Incidentally, we are doing this with the this part. With our numbers man unit, which is our macroeconomics unit, and this will part of this part will appear in this week in economics. Overall losses, gross losses, Iowa State gross product loss are calculated between $1 and $2 billion to soybeans. I think we've mentioned these before, and ethanol a 2% drop there. And we'll just append this report because the report, what we are trying to be as statistical as we possibly can be here. So we basically what we've done, we've looked at agriculture from two different states, the state of Nebraska, now very red state, Nebraska, voted for DJ Trump in great numbers. And the state of Iowa, which is a mixed state, the known white supremacist king comes from Iowa. And Iowa sort of split some of their congressional delegation. The governor there was reelected by a very small percentage point. Now, Iowa's also the Iowa caucuses. That will be coming up here shortly. Let me just... from Michigan State University. This is Edgar. Edgar used to be the governor, incidentally, of Michigan. He's resigning as president of Michigan State. A new governor in the state of Michigan there is evidently cleaning house, period. As Michigan State agreed to a $500 billion settlement with 332 women and girls. This is over this Dr. Nazar there. The board has five Democrats, two Republicans, and an appointee who was named last month by then-Governor Snyder, Gateway Snyder. The board makeup becomes more Democratic in November, became more Democratic. The governor there, Gretchen Whitmire, she's a graduate of the Iowa State University. Thought we'd throw that one in very, very quickly there. And let's move on as we hop around here as quickly as we can. And we won't do Medicare work requirements. We usually always have more than what we could have. The 500,000 workers were recalled on the shutdown. Costs hit $1 billion a week. This is from various sources in the people's world. The Center for American Progress puts the overall cost to the economy of the shutdown at $2 billion each week, figuring the costs of 800,000 workers. The cabinet departments, agriculture, commerce, housing, interior, justice, and transportation, plus other agencies, notably the Environmental Protection Agency, are all shut down, literally. And let's see. Food and safety inspections here. A typical unpaid worker has missed a paycheck totaling about $5,000. The average, the range for the average pay of $12,500. That's at the Security and Exchange Commission. They are paid every 2 weeks. So roughly, what? The arithmetic here. We went by too fast. Anyway, that's. $2,050 per week. Now, that's the average one. Some workers obviously make much less than that. Contract workers more. So we sort of get somewhat of an idea of what is going on here. We don't have any firm numbers. This is financial, and the Department of Agriculture includes food safety workers, 4,000. And this is the Center for American Progress is where these figures evidently have come from. While we are just here, Woody Guthrie, his song, and you heard it as we came in here. And in his song, let's see, get the As Old Man Trumpeting. We played this before. That's Fred C. Trump, the father of the infamous J.D. Trump, D.J. Trump, that is now occupying the White House. Some of this song was on cover here. Evidently, Woody Guthrie in 1950 signed a lease in the Beach Haven apartment complex that was in Queens, was it not? I think so. It was lamenting the bigotry that prevailed in this new lily-white neighborhood. He wrote words like, "I support old man Trump. I suppose old man Trump knows just how much racial hate he stirred up in the blood sport of human hearts when he drawed that color line here at this 1800 family project." And this is a song, "I Ain't Got No Home." And he put this in, "Beach Haven ain't my home. I just can't pay this rent. My money down the drain. My soul is badly bent. Beach Haven looks like heaven when no black ones come to roam. No, 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 no. Old man Trump, old Beach Haven ain't my home." Woody died in 1967, and these papers come from his museum out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the very red state of Oklahoma. This is in the New York Times, incidentally. Let's see here. A recent date, no doubt about that. 2 p.m., I think it was today, we found this. Well, we just throw it in as we move along here to the L.A. teachers' strike. The is now includes teachers at L.A. Charter schools, two, first in California. Teachers at three charter schools in the South Los Angeles walked off the job, making it the first time ever that a charter school organization in California went on strikes, according to the teachers' union. The strike joins thousands of other educators in Los Angeles. Their strike against a unified district there. Union representatives for teachers at Accelerated Schools said more than a year and a half of negotiations are there. They were waving signs outside of Accelerate's campus on Martin Luther King Boulevard. founded by two former Unified teachers. These three accelerated schools serve 1,700 students, kindergarten through 12th grade. Accelerated co-founder Jonathan Williams said in a statement that Accelerated Schools is disheartened that the United Teachers of Los Angeles leadership called for a strike, putting our students and families in a will. Forget that. Let's see. Nonetheless, they are on strike, and teachers are not widgets, students are not test scores. And this is, time and time again, we've heard about that. Randy Woodgarten, is president of the American Federation of Teachers, joined the pickets. She's been around a very long time. She said charter school management has turned the charter system on its end and has made it ideologically against teachers. We have, at this mic, have opposed charter schools in 98% of the instances, the same situation as the National Action Center under the national leader, Dr. L. Sharpton. The problem here is that when you get into charter schools now, it's kind of an interesting situation. In some school districts, charter schools are funded actually by the school districts themselves, but they do have some type of independence. But in general, they are set up as a counterpost, sort of like what happened with the Hamas on the West Bank of Gaza, of the people in Gaza there against the PLO. If we make an illustration there, although the Zionists didn't set up the charter schools. The union is out in Los Angeles. This is from Los Angeles time on the 16th. Students and return to the bargaining table on Thursday at the City Hall. That's Eric Garcetti. Excuse me. He is the mayor of Los Angeles bargaining table, which could be a four-weekend negotiation leading up to Monday. That will be Dr. King's birthday. We'll have a special programming on Sunday on Dr. King, because Monday we had the Monday morning quarterback. Now, let us move along here as we clear up a few little things here that have, as they say, being set on the table. We'll have a special program, incidentally, on Harry Reid. We talked about Harry Reid once before. He's evidently suffering now from pancreatic cancer. That is a very nasty situation there with Harry Reid. Now, from the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy, because agriculture and food are together, part of the SNAP program that's out of the Department of Agriculture. More than 10,000 Kentuckians have lost food assistance in recent months as a result of state decision to expire limited time waivers from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that's SNAP, a new report from the center. We'll have more on this on report, the various to food security and economic security on all sides of the situation that the state helped create. That's from a senior policy analyst. And now, analyst, excuse me, Dr. Ashley Spalding said, "We have made it harder for people to keep food assistance while giving lip service to SNAP as an alternate for those who struggle to overcome the time limit." So they've got time limits. Many states have went into these time limits. But this coincides with the hardships caused by the Trump tariffs on farmers and local farm economies. We haven't talked about this in both Nebraska and Iowa, because many and all these farmers are in very small rural communities. And that the money that's taken out of there causes more hardships. There are not enough supports to address the barriers many face to participating in the EE&T. For example, participants receive a maximum of just $25 a month for transportation while they're, anyways, in these programs. It's not very much at all. It's like federal workers are now forced to go to work, and how are they paying for transportation? No one knows. They are probably on food stamps, literally, because if they live in Washington, D.C. in particular. Several changes in Kentucky are underway in 2019 will lead to increased participation and better employment outcomes for some low-income Kentuckians. However, the proposed changes are inadequate to stem the tide of losing food assistance. And we'll have more on this probably on the weekend. We'll get this information out to you. Let's go quickly to the Washington Post here as we try to correlate the impacts of the Trump tariffs on the farm economy in Nebraska and also in Iowa with the tariffs, the cuts for food assistance, in Kentucky and various other states. Iowa's also done this. Indiana has done it also. We'll put this one in because the next time we will visit you, we'll be in that we are on Thursday the 17th. Will be for Friday Jobber. The Women's March is this weekend. And just briefly, will Jewish women attend the Women's March? Is the big story here. When it first made its debut, we covered it. And we used, for Friday Jobber, the song sung by Madonna there as a protest against DJ Trump. That was in 2017 when he was sworn in. Rally will return to Washington, D.C. And this is back to Ms. Malloy there and the Nation of Islam's national leader, one Louis Farrakhan. And a close association there. She had been associated, that is Monika, with the Nation of Islam since her son was killed. Some say that it should motivate Jewish women to be present there. We seek more common ground. That is from a 65-year-old federal retiree. I guess she's fortunate there, named Laura Sonic. This is Malika Mari there, attendance at the Nation of Islam. But that's something she's been going forever. I say forever, probably most of her life. The Jewish Relations Council of Greater Washington said it would not endorse the march or encourage Jewish women and their allies to attend, but the council welcomed Jewish women to attend independent local marches in places like Baltimore, Annapolis, and Philadelphia. So a mixed scheme there. Nancy Kaufman, she's chief executive of the National Council of Jewish Women, a sponsor of the 2017 march. Well, anyway, what Kaufman had to say and what Kaufman doesn't have to say, we don't know. It's unclear how many people the Women's March in the district would draw this year. And in an application, they estimated more than 500,000 people, about the same as in 2017. These marches rarely get the second time around. Our friend here, Linda Censur, one of the organizers of the march, said the leaders rejected Iman Farrakhan in his statements. But Lasur, she's Palestinian, incidentally, declined to specifically reject Minister Farrakhan. Mallory has said the Nation of Islam came to her aid after the death of her son 17 years ago. And they were very instrumental in protecting her and guiding her and relying upon her for financial from them for financial support. Now,